Hello. Good morning. Am I on? Hello? Am I on? Okay. All right. Sorry, I'm going to use a stool. I'm sorry. I love you guys. I'm not like Richie. I'm not going to run around up here. But I may need a little help moving this down a little bit. It's a little bit tall for me. I'm sorry. I was under the weather all day yesterday, so I don't really feel like I should be up standing, walking around right now. But I am very excited to be bringing this word. I'm pretty nervous. I've been planning it for about 3 weeks now. I've been recording myself saying it and then re-recording myself saying it. And then, you know, I'm deleting that. And then on Thursday, I felt like God totally changed the message, which Richie said is pretty typical. So I'm a little bit like, oh my gosh, where are my notes? Keep them right by me right now. But I do want to tell you guys this funny story. On Thursday night, I woke up, or Friday morning, I woke up. And I had had this dream that I was getting ready to speak, and I went to Ariel, and I was like, hey, Ariel, can you do my hair? Can you make me look pretty before I speak on Sunday? So she spins me around in the chair, and she's, like, doing all this stuff, and she's working, and then she turns the chair around for the big reveal, and she had shaved off half my hair, and all I had was this, like, sprout of hair hanging down, and it was long, and I kept, during my speaking, I kept, like, flipping the hair, like, back and forth because I thought it was so great. So if I touch my hair, it's just because I'm making sure I didn't wake up in my nightmare. But anyway, I'm excited to be here today sharing this message. But can we pray just together as a family, just pray for this word? Lord, we thank you for this day today, God. I thank you for this opportunity. I pray today, Lord, that everything that I say, everything that we do today as a community, Lord, that it would honor and glorify you. I thank you for the worship that we experience with you. Father, I thank you for bringing us right into the throne room, God. I thank you for tilling up the hollow or the hard ground in our life. And Lord, that as we hear these words today, God, that they're going to go deep, they're going to grow roots and bear fruit, Father God. And we thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so a few years ago, I read this book called Captivating. Kind of changed my life a little bit. It caused me to see the around me and myself in a different light. So a lot of what I'm going to talk about today came from that book, or my inspiration from that book. So bear with me a little bit. If you're interested in that book, you can buy it on Amazon. It's pretty inexpensive, but it's an excellent book. So I want to go through really quickly and just reiterate the questions that we saw in the slides. And guys, this message today is just as much a part or for you as it is for the women, because so much of us as women being able to walk fully in what God has called us to do requires the men in our lives. So thank you for being here today, for supporting. And after this message, thank you for holding us accountable to what we hear and what we've heard today. So the three questions, the first one was this: how are you inspired by women, men and women? How are you inspired by women? This is, for some women, it may be a hard question. It's a tough thing because as women, oftentimes we struggle to celebrate other women. And we'll get a little bit more into that in a minute. But question number two was, in what ways do you feel celebrated? How do you feel celebrated? Men, you too. How do you feel celebrated? Think about that for a minute. And the third question is this: in what ways has God gifted you to bring life? How has He called you personally to bring life? What does that look like? In Genesis 1:27, it says this: so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we were both uniquely fashioned and designed to depict the nature of God. Not one sex over the other, but uniquely designed. He placed his image. We are image bearers, and he placed his image inside of us, unique. And so I thought that was so amazing, just reiterating how God's intent for us was to uniquely bear his image. Men's strength typically is portrayed in the essence of motion. Richie and I were talking about this the other day, and in Genesis 2:15, I never really read this before. Maybe it hadn't been revealed to me like this before, but in Genesis 2:15, it says this: the Lord took the man and put him in the garden to work it and keep it. So I thought it was amazing how God created Adam for motion. He put that in his nature. That is Adam's nature, to be in motion. And what he did was he created him, and then he put him to work. He gave him a job, y'all. That's God gave Adam his first job. I thought that was so unique how it really just came alive to me that is why so often for us when we see a passive man, it feels so unnatural. And all of us have experienced that in our own life. Passivity, moments when we walk in passivity, when we're not actually like as men, when you're not conquering like you feel like you should be, or maybe you've had a rough season of your job and it just feels like, man, I can't get through right now. And it's because that's how God created you. He created you to be in motion. So anyway, so I thought that was pretty amazing. But so Adam's in the garden, he's working, but in Genesis 2:18 it says, God said that it isn't good for Adam to be alone, so he created Eve. And I think the thing that resonated with me most when I was how God created Eve for relationships. He created her to be in relationship. And I thought that was so amazing how if we really break it down and we think about it, isn't that the essence really, women, of who we are? We really do define ourselves by our relationships. I'm a mom. I'm a wife. I'm a daughter. Or I'm single, I'm lonely, I'm divorced, I'm a widow. And so we define ourselves typically by our relationships. And this is when really we feel most fulfilled, when we're walking in the relationships, when we're giving out life through who we are, through our heart. So if you could throw our first slide on there, it's Genesis 3:20. Awesome. And it says this, the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all the living. The original Hebrew is translated Sheva, which means life or life giver. The very nature of who Eve is to bring life and to be a life giver. And I love how the Bible talks about this because it's not saying that if you're having babies, if you're married, it's not saying that. The very essence of Eve is to give life. So a woman that is not giving life feels so unnatural. Like we talked about the men, the passive men, it feels so unnatural. So a woman who is not being a life giver or giving out of that feels so unnatural. So if we are called to give life, then why are so many of our relationships marked by hurt, disappointment, and regret? Yes, we were created to bear the image of our insanely relational God, but we also live in a fallen world, and we also have a fallen nature. And so for the rest of the age, we're going to call that fallen nature Fallen Eve, okay? And so there's a couple of ways that Fallen Eve does not give life, and we're going to talk about a little bit of that today, right now. Number one, as women, when we walk in the fallen nature, we compare. You guys have my slide up there. Thank you so much. Fallen Eve compares. When we are not living out of the life-giving nature that God has called us to, we look at everybody else around us and we see what they're doing and we compare it to what maybe we're not doing or what maybe we haven't been called to do. Some of us, that looks a little bit like comparing. Instead of comparing, though, from now on in this church, in the community chapel, for you guys listening here, we are not going to compare anymore. What we are going to do is we're going to compliment. We're going to use our words to build others up. And one of the things that I put in here is that the next time that you see someone wearing something beautiful or her version of beautiful, compliment her. You have no idea what it does to someone's self-esteem just to say, you look so beautiful today. It radiates. It brings joy to their life. It automatically takes that bad day and it turns it into a good day. So from now on, life-giving Eve compliments. She does not compare. So when we continue to follow our fallen nature and fallen Eve, when we continue to follow that, we land at our second way that we don't bring life, and that is through jealousy and envy. Fallen Eve is jealous and envious. When we continue to follow Eve, we land here because this is where the enemy of our soul is given permission to placate the wounds from our past. When we constantly draw from those jealous places of why can't I, why aren't I, why is she, why, you know, those kind of things. When we constantly draw from that, we create an avenue for the enemy to use those wounds from our past to just constantly belittle us as women, to keep us hidden, to keep us hiding, to keep us from giving life. So I want to read this verse for you. It's a little bit long, James 3, 14 through 16. Thank you guys so much. I had way more slides than Richie did. I felt so bad. I was like, is it okay to give them this many slides? He usually has three notes. I have like five pages here. So anyways, so this verse says this, but bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart. Don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. And I like how the Bible just calls it for what it is. It's earthly, it's demonic, it's fallen Eve. So when we walk in that nature, there is no way that God can get any glory for that. There's no way that we can actually bring life. There's just, it's impossible. So from now on, our next slide says, life-giving Eve takes her thoughts captive. We are no longer going to walk in jealousy. We are going to take our thoughts captive. The moment those thoughts come into your mind, we are going to take those thoughts captive. We're not going to think on it. We're not going to dwell on it. We are not going to allow the enemy to placate anymore the wounds from our past, because we're not fallen Eve. We're daughters of the King. So we're going to walk out our life as daughters of the King. So the way that we take our thoughts captive is that we don't even let the thought take root. Some of you men and women need to hear this today, because the thought is not the sin. Where's Jeff Payne? Jeff, raise your hand. Do you remember this from Sunday school? I used to teach Jeff in Sunday school. So we used to say this all the time. The thought is not the sin. The enemy will hurl thoughts at you all day long. It's dwelling on the thought that causes the sin. It's thinking about the idea. It's placating the notion. So the moment that that thought comes into your head, you take that thought captive. The way we do that is we quote the scripture. We quote the word. We stop and pray. We don't give the enemy a foothold, and we make sure that we are not allowing him to utilize anything against us. We already have enough working against us as it is. We don't need him to be placating those things, okay? So fallen Eve, the third major weakness of character in fallen Eve is that we hide. We won't offer our hearts. We choose not to step out in faith. We walk in fear of failure. We say no when we should say yes. We control. We belittle. We point out, this is just me. I'm visual, so I have to say it like this. We point out the sawdust in someone else's eye while we have a telephone pole jetting out of our own eye. And for me, this is a big of hiding, because I want you guys to know that about a year ago, before we had even planted this church, Richie asked me to speak for Mother's Day. And I said, no, absolutely not. I would not speak for Mother's Day. And it's funny, because how the more I'm in community and in relationship with other women, and I see them stepping out in faith and doing things for God, it challenged me. And Richie said a couple of months ago, can you just pray about it? So it's funny. So I said to Mom, Richie wants me to preach for Mother's Day. Mom's like, you should preach for Mother's Day. I'm like, you know. But it's being in community, being in relationship. So the way that we combat our hiding is that we offer our heart. We step out in faith. We say yes. If God is extending an invitation to you to offer your heart and you continuously hide, is it about you serving God or is it about you protecting yourself? You have to think about that. Am I really willing to step out in faith when he says it? When it could possibly mean that I have to be vulnerable? When it could possibly mean that I have to do something that's uncomfortable? Right now, my deodorant is not working at all, you guys. That is why I put this jacket on today, because I am so nervous. And yes, it's uncomfortable, and I don't want to be up here at all, but I know that this is what God has called us to do, and step out in faith and do that. And so I'm happy to serve my community in that way. So I'm sorry, I lost my place. Okay, so what if the person that God has asked you to serve lives in your home, but that person is grating on your nerves? What happens if it's the person that is in your ministry that is grating on your nerves? What happens if it is the person that sits in the cubicle right next to us? Fallen Eve writes that person off. Fallen Eve says, I just cannot be around that person. But what we don't realize sometimes is that God has placed us exactly where he wants us for the exact purpose that we need to be there. And sometimes it's just about us standing in our faith when we feel like we want to physically hurt someone. When we feel like we want to hurt them. Sometimes it's just about you. You know what? Good morning. God bless you. Have a nice day. Whatever. And it's not... One of the ways I'm challenged personally in this is that I have one child that is just like her father, and I have another child who is just like me, and it's something to me because the child that is just like Richie is, it's like an effort to have a relationship with this person, but the older that she has become, and the more I have applied the principles of this book and really asking myself, when I'm with her, what is she teaching me about God? What does her presence tell me about who God is? It changed my relationship with her. And so I challenge you, women, ask yourself that question. When I'm with this person, when I'm with this woman, what are they telling me about God and his nature and who he is? Sometimes when I'm with Aaron, I feel like God is like fierce and fiery. And I texted her yesterday and I was like, can you bring me one of your stools? I don't think I can make it tomorrow without standing. She's like, why? What's wrong? Who do I need to kill? Like, you know, that's the thing. My best friend Deanna texted me yesterday and she's like, I'm praying for you. I'm believing God's going to do great things. Melissa, Rachel, my sisters, Jenny, these women in my life encourage me and build me up and strengthen me as women. But it doesn't happen if I'm by myself. It requires community being around us. And so that's why Fallen Eve can't give life, because Fallen Eve's going to hide. Life-giving Eve is going to push herself to that community group. She's going to push herself to call her friends and text that person that God put on her heart. She's going to serve her community through opportunities like stamping out hunger yesterday. That was an amazing opportunity. She's going to demand a girls' night. I haven't seen my friends. Honey, watch the kids. I need a girls' night. We do that sometimes. And then the last way that I feel like is most predominant is that she presents and offers her presence to those that she's in relationship with. When I'm with her, I'm with her. I'm here. I'm present. I'm not texting. I'm not thinking about something else. I'm not doing... Wherever you are, John Rohn says this, wherever you are, be there. Be there, be in the moment. You know, we went on a family vacation a few weeks ago, and I found myself being like, oh, I should take a picture of that. Oh, I should take a picture. Oh, I should take a picture of that. And then really, honestly, what it boiled down to is, do I want to take a picture of it or do I want to experience it? And I really just wanted to experience it with my kids and the moments. And so we don't have a lot of family pictures from our vacation that we just went on. But it was because we really just wanted to be there in the moment with our family. And so I encourage you guys, be in the moment. Be with the people that you're with. That's how Eve gives. That's how we bring that out. Now, I would never, ever minimize the things that we've gone through as men and women and the hurts and the places that we've walked through. But I do want to ask that those places that you stop hiding, using those places to hide, but that you actually give life from those places. And what that looks like is asking the Holy Spirit to heal that place inside of you, getting in community with other people who can believe with you for that, so that out of those hurt places, it no longer becomes hurt. I'm going to hide that. No, God, I don't want you to have that part of me. I don't want to be used in that way. But instead, it's saying, okay, Lord, thank you for healing me. And out of that, I'll be obedient to minister, because that's how we give life. And we take the things that the enemy intended for evil in our life and we use them for God's glory. And so I want to encourage you women in that, to really get help in that way, whatever it looks like for you. For some of us, it might mean you need to call Maria. She's an excellent counselor. I have her on speed dial. I'll give you her number right after we get done. Maria is an excellent listener, and she gives practical advice, and she helps in that way. Some women may need counseling, and that's okay. There's nothing with that. But other people, what we might need to do is just step out. Just give life. Just step out and say yes when you need to say yes. John 3:6 says it like this: humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So it is only through the work of the Holy Spirit that we can truly live out our God-given, life-intended nature, and not through the work of fallen Eve. She can't help you anymore. And like Pastor Richie tells us all the time, if God wants something killed and he's killed it, stop trying to resurrect it. Don't try to resurrect that fallen nature, because that's not who you are anymore. Can you guys put the picture of Mia and Malia up there? I asked Melissa before I shared this picture, but this is a picture of my daughter Mia and Melissa and Lewis's daughter Malia. And the girls were at my brother and sister-in-law's wedding. And these two girls, I mean, this picture says everything for me personally, because they are wearing feather boas, which, come on, it doesn't get any better than that, number one. Number two, we were at a wedding. All their family was around. We were dancing. We were doing Harlem I didn't put the other pictures in there, but there were so many pictures of us that you were like, you would be like, what is going on? Richie was wearing a straw, like, Mexican sombrero. We had YMCA costumes. It was crazy that day. But in this moment right here, someone got this pic, snapped this picture, and these two girls right here are absolutely, completely free. They are completely free. They are unencumbered. They have no cares. They are living life. They are with their family. They are secure. And every time I see this picture, it reminds me of how God intends for us to live. It's how he intends for us to live. With feather boas on, getting crazy, just really being free. And when we live like this, those two are offering each other their heart right now. That's how we as women were called to live. We're called to offer each other our heart. And we can do that when we are truly free and when we are not encumbered. If the two of them were hiding over in the corner, it would have ruined the picture. But they're in the middle of the dance floor with a fake mic, like just getting it. And we love it. This is a great picture. But so this is how I really do feel like God called us to live. So when you're thinking about, am I living out of my fallen Eve or am I living out of Eve? I want you to reference this picture in your mind. Think about it. Is this how God is? Am I living this way right now, or am I hiding? Am I comparing? Am I becoming jealous? Or am I stepping out, giving life, doing what God has called me to do? So in closing, Mel's going to come up and read something for me, because there is just absolutely no way I could get through it today reading this. But there is a story about this girl named Katie Davis, and she is this amazing young lady. She grew up in a Christian family home, but at age 18, her senior year, she went on vacation, or not vacation, definitely not vacation. She went on a missions trip to Uganda for 3 weeks over her Christmas vacation, and it was while she was there that she really felt her heart connect with the people of Uganda and really connect while she was there. And so one of the things I think that is so amazing about this story is that at 18 years old, she comes back home and she tells her parents, "Mom, Dad, I don't think I should go to college. I think I'm going to take a year off and go teach English in Uganda." As a parent of an 18-year-old female who grew up in, you know, the suburbs of Tennessee, as a parent, what would initial reaction be? Mine would be like, absolutely not, never. No, you're not doing that. And if you are, then we're all going together. We'll go together. But she felt called at age 18 to serve this community in this way. And so one of the things that was so unbelievable is that when she got there, she said her one-year commitment turned into a lifelong commitment, and she absolutely fell in love with these people. She fell in love with the children, and while she was there, God called her to mother 14 children, 14 girls who had been abandoned. And so at age 19 years old, she stepped out and answered the call to become a mother and give life in this way. And Mel's going to read an excerpt from her book.
It's Kisses from Katie. It says, "My life in the red dirt of Uganda. Sometimes I want to spend hours talking with my best friends about boys and fashion and school and life. I want to go to the gym. I want my hair to look nice. I want to be allowed to wear jeans. I want to be a normal young woman living in America, sometimes. But I want other things more, all the time. I want to be spiritually and emotionally filled every day. I want to be loved and cuddled by 100 children and never go a day without laughing. I want to wake up to a rooster's crow and open my eyes to see lush green trees and seem to pulse with life against a piercing blue sky at the rusty red soil of Uganda. I want to be challenged endlessly. I want to be taught by those I teach, and I want to share God's love with people who otherwise might not know it. I want to work so hard that at every day, filthy and too tired to move. I want to make some kind of difference, no matter how small, and I want to follow the calling God has placed on my heart. I want to give my life away to serve the Lord in each breath. And at the end of the day, no matter how hard, I want to be right here in Uganda.
I loved how she said, I want to be tired at the end of each day. I want to just give out and just be who God has called me to be. And I almost made it all the way through. I love how she answered the call at 18 to do that. And how hard do you think that would be? This is her on her wedding day. These are her girls. This picture, unbelievable. And I really do love the fact that God brought a man into her life who was willing to be a daddy to 14 girls. And they have this amazing life, and they have their own children now as well. But this is what it looks like for us to give life. This is what it looks like for us to answer the call. And God may not call you to move to Uganda, but he may call you to minister to the person that sits next to you at work. He may ask you to buy lunch for someone who's homeless, and that's okay. And he may ask you to love the very person that's in your home that seems a little bit unlovable, and that might be a teenager. But just give them a pass at the moment. But in those moments, I want you guys to think about how God has called you to live out your life. The last scripture that I have here, and it's in the little giveaways that we have for all the ladies here today. This is the verse that's inside of it, and it says this: watch what God does and then do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. And that is the premise and the full existence of why we are here as women, to love, to fully love, to give yourself, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, but to love like that.